New Justice Commissioner Viviane Reding says the body she is in charge of will examine whether to launch proceedings against Paris for infringing European laws. She also says France could face a separate investigation into whether it has violated the European Charter on Fundamental Rights. Last week, Reding drew parallels between France's treatment of Roma gypsies and World War II-era deportations. The comparison has angered French authorities. They have warned the bloc not to go beyond its role. And now, Israel says it is against its interests to join a global anti-nuclear arms treaty. The head of Israel's Atomic Energy Commission says the Arab state's campaign at the UN Atomic Agency for Tel Aviv to give up its nuclear weapons could undermine any arms control measures in the Middle East. This comes as the Arab states have put forward a resolution at the IAEA's annual conference in Vienna demanding Israel join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The resolution is expected to be put to debate on Thursday. Israel is believed that is to be the only possessor of hundreds of nuclear warheads in the Middle East region. Arab states say there cannot be peace in the region until Israel gives up its nuclear arms. Human rights activists in Bahrain say crackdown on the freedom of expression there is escalating very fast and is broadening in scope.
There is a continuous war against all Shias who are critic to government politics. We have hundreds of them today are inside the jail. Many of them were tortured and sexually assaulted, including religious figures. There is a real war of humiliation in the media in Bahrain against the Shia, against their beliefs, against their religious figures, and it is continuously and headed and leaded by maybe the closest newspaper to the ruling or to the royal court, which is Al Watan newspaper. And there is a frightening campaign for every people criticizing government.
Rights activists also say more websites are blocked and increasing number of publications are banned on almost daily basis. Even citizenships are being revoked. The authorities have recently stripped a prominent Shia cleric and his family of their citizenship. Ayatollah Sheikh Hussein al-Najati represents top Iraqi cleric Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani in Bahrain. Sheikh Abdul Jalil al-Mighdad has also been banned from leading Friday prayers there. Both clerics are outspoken against the government in Bahrain. Bahrain recently arrested some 20 activists on alleged charges of plotting a coup against the government. An American woman diagnosed with borderline mental retardation will soon be executed. Teresa Lewis is convicted of plotting to kill her husband and stepson back in 2002. She is slated to die by lethal injection on Thursday. That will make her the first woman executed in the United States of in the U.S., actually, in the state of Virginia in nearly a century. But new evidence suggests that she is mentally challenged and had been manipulated by one of the hitmen she hired. The execution of the mentally impaired is against the U.S. Constitution, but both the Virginia Supreme Court and a federal appeals court have ruled that Lewis, with an IQ hovering at around 70, could function normally in society. To discuss this situation a little bit more in detail, let's bring in Mr. Richard Dieter. He is an executive director with Death Penalty Information Center, if I'm not mistaken. Mr. Dieter, it's good to have you with us. What's going on? Why are the mentally ill people being executed in the U.S.?
Well, the people with mental retardation, that's the issue here. People with limited intellectual ability cannot be executed if they meet that definition. But as the introduction indicated, Mrs. Lewis is close to that, but doesn't quite fit the legal standard. So her case went before the governor. The governor could grant a clemency, reduce her sentence down to life, but he has so far refused to do so.
Right. Like I said in the news, she has an IQ of, if I'm not wrong, of around 70. Can you explain a little bit more about Ms. Lewis's case? What does the borderline of mental retardation mean for the U.S. judicial system?
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court in 2005 said people with mental retardation cannot be executed. And the definition of mental retardation is that you have an IQ of below 70 and that you demonstrate in social functioning a below average kind of behavior. So it's not just an IQ number, it's also your ability to function in society. And through a lot of tests, Ms. Lewis comes close, but not within the definition. So she can be executed, but that doesn't mean she doesn't have a limited intelligence. And she was thought to be somehow the leader of this whole crime. There were three people involved. It's very doubtful that she knew how to put together this kind of murder for hire and get insurance money and get all the people involved. She was a follower, and the other people involved in the crime got life sentences. And so her lawyers are arguing she too should get a life sentence in this case.
Right. That's exactly the question that I was about to ask you. Actually, you took it from my mouth. If these people were rich enough, do you think, to get these good lawyers, like you said, would they still be facing the death sentence?
Well, she had, I think, some bad advice from her lawyer. She pled guilty. She did not have a jury that she was entitled to determine her sentence and determine whether she was eligible for the death penalty. If even one of those jurors had voted for her life, she'd be allowed to live tomorrow. But that wasn't what she did. She pled guilty before a judge, and the judge gave her the death penalty. I think with different advice, she might, be alive, as I say, at the end of this week.
Killer advice by her lawyers, I should say. Many thanks, Richard Dieter, Executive Director, Death Penalty Information Center, live from Washington. Thanks for joining our broadcast. Let's move on straight to our headlines for now. In Tehran, time is 1:42. The U.S. Federal Reserve says the country's economic recovery has lost momentum. Iran's president says the world needs a just order that will protect the rights of all nations. And a row between France and the European Union over Roma expulsions worsens. Coming up shortly in the second half, we're going to be telling you about slum dwellers in developing countries. That and more. Hi, thanks for joining us. Stories in the second half begin in Lebanon. Former Lebanese General Jamil Saeed has accused Prime Minister Saad al-Hariri of fabricating lies against him in the case of the assassination of former Premier Rafiq al-Hariri. Mariam Saleh has this report from Beirut. The video contains flash photography. Do be warned, please.
There's a fresh controversy around the Special Tribunal for Lebanon as Major General Jamil Saeed has directly accused Prime Minister Saad Hariri of fabricating claims against him. Describing his feud with Saad Hariri as personal and political, Saeed warned Hariri that he would direct his response to the Lebanese premier and his family and not the future movement. This comes after a March 14th member of parliament known for his close ties to the Lebanese premier accused Saeed of fabricating the story published by German magazine Der Spiegel last year. The article was the first to talk about the alleged involvement of Hezbollah in ex-Premier Rafiq Hariri's assassination.
There is no need for this show of support at the airport for a person who went to Der Spiegel and began a year-long division which could turn into a civil strife.
March 14 figures also called on Hezbollah to stop supporting Sayed, implying that this might at some point ignite Shiite-Sunni strife in the country. The Future Movement had previously warned Hezbollah not to support Jamil Sayed. However, the presence of Hezbollah members and escort for Sayed at Beirut's airport upon his arrival from Paris clearly shows that Hezbollah is firmly behind the former security chief. Hezbollah members of Lebanese parliament say they are mainly keen on uncovering the alleged disappearance of fake witnesses and those who are behind their fabrication. The testimonies of some of these witnesses did lead to the imprisonment of Sayed and three other generals for 4 years, without trial before their release. Sayed had accused Hariri and members of the judiciary of backing these false witnesses. Now it seems the views of both Sayed and Hezbollah on the issue of false witnesses are converging.
Hezbollah is not supporting Jamil Sayed as a, person. False witnesses now, actually, are the principle of our case today in Lebanon. Some people, some fraction of the Lebanese party used the justice for benefit from self-benefit, for own benefit, despite the law.
But amid the apparently tense atmosphere, there are some attempts, especially by the Druze Progressive Socialist Party leader, Walid Jumblat, to reconcile the existing differences. While warning of systematic deterioration in Lebanese political landscape, Jumblat also talked of head of Hezbollah Sayed Hassan Nasrallah sending a positive message to Prime Minister Hariri. Mariam Saleh, Press TV, Beirut.
In other news, the dispute between Beijing and Tokyo over a small group of islands in the East China Sea has led to a number of protests in China. But this report examines how the crisis is playing out in Japan.
The streets of Tokyo may at first glance look the same as on any other day, but there is an undercurrent of tension, too. Tabloid newspaper headlines now scream about the possibility of a Chinese military attack. The government of China has been lodging fierce protests after the Japan Coast Guard arrested a Chinese fishing boat captain near a tiny group of disputed islands called the Senkaku by the Japanese and the Diutai by the Chinese. Some conservative Japanese politicians are ratcheting up the rhetoric too. Tokyo Governor Shintaro Ishihara, for example, has now called China an unpleasant country that acts just like Yakuza, Japanese gangsters. There is an effect on business, too. This woman told Press TV that Chinese visitors to the shop where she works have fallen off sharply. These businessmen could see no easy solution.
It's really a difficult problem. They have to work it out somehow at the national level.
So we brought the question directly to a senior national politician.
These islands are traditional Japanese territory, and this particular criminal case is in the hands of the local judicial authorities. In Japan, we have a separation of powers. However, China has raised various objections, and we will try and address them calmly and carefully at the diplomatic level.
Independent experts also stress the difficulty of the issue.
But the issue of the Senkaku Diutai is actually more sentimental. Both countries have been claiming that they belongs to their own country. And as long as Japanese say that is no territory issues, as long as the Chinese say that this belongs to Chinese territory, there's no way. The land is land, and only four islands. No way for them to, divide it to islands, each other.
With both sides unwilling to back down from the confrontation, it has become difficult to see the way forward. Michael Penn, Press TV, Tokyo.
Apparently just enough time for one final story here. The Red Cross has warned that some 1 billion slum dwellers in developing countries vulnerable to disasters. The relief organization says the vulnerability is because of the fact that that they live in congested and poorly built houses without emergency services. The Red Cross's report has blamed a lack of infrastructure and emergency services for the existing risks of the lives of people in Latin America, Africa, and Asia. It has warned that this urban risk will be further exposed in a very cruel way by climate change in the coming years. The report has covered the crisis of urban poverty, rapidly growing informal settlements, and growing numbers of urban disasters. It says all these problems arise from the failure of governments to adapt their institutions to urbanization.